They were able to be four, but with very many restrictions. As long as it's been Israeli hands, it has been wide open to Christians or Mohammedans or Jews. But when it was under Arab control, it was very, very difficult for any but Muslims to get into the old walled city. So I feel in view of that, that I personally am very thankful that we hope to be there again in November. I'm sure there can be no change by that time. I doubt very much if there ever will be a change. In the last war, that is the War of Liberation, the Israeli leaders promised their men, their young men, that if they would take the city by hand-to-hand combat, without the need of shelling it and destroying any of these sacred sites, if they would take it in hand combat, that they would never again relinquish it. And the young Israeli soldiers, they fought their ways with bayonets down those narrow streets. You have to see them to realize what it would mean. And they fought their way foot by foot down those narrow streets so that none of the buildings were destroyed. I do not believe any Israeli leader would possibly live out the revolt that would undoubtedly break out if the old city were given once again to the Arabs. But our government is pressuring them, which makes us realize how little there is to the profession that comes out of Washington regarding the things of God. But there's extreme pressure being put on the Israelis at this time, so I personally am very thankful. We're looking forward to getting there once again while it's open, wide open for tourists. So we're looking forward to it, and you'll be praying for those of us who are planning to go. Now, our subject tonight is the pattern of the tabernacle. In our last study, we looked at the purpose of it, and we saw that the purpose of this tabernacle in the wilderness was that it might be the habitation of God amongst His people, Israel. And that gave us a lovely type of the church as the habitation of God now. Tonight we look at the pattern, and for the sake of any who may not have been with us, and just to refresh the minds of those of us who are more or less familiar with this, I'm going to run through the pictures again quickly, saying very little about them, but I want you to notice the beautiful order and the beauty in every detail of this tabernacle as we look at these pictures. And then we'll read our scriptures and we'll look at the pattern of the tabernacle. We want to learn the lesson that the work of God must be done in God's way. God's work must be done in God's way. That's our lesson for tonight. But now if we could have the lights out, please, we will just quickly look at these pictures. Here, of course, the tabernacle as a whole. Now, I might just mention this. Practically every picture I have seen of the tabernacle and the charts and the models and that have been a little different in certain points. And the question might be asked, well, why is that? I believe the reason is that each one in painting these pictures or in making these models, they were going by the written record of the scriptures. But now we are going to see as we study the scriptures tonight that God not only spoke to Moses and gave him the instructions as to how to construct this tabernacle, but he also showed it to him. And that's very different because, you know, two people can listen to the same description and in their mind they get two different ideas. They may be very similar, but there be some differences. But if you look at a thing, that could remove all question, all doubt. So we'll just look through this now, but see what a beautiful order that there is in this tabernacle. A little closer view of the activity around the brazen altar there in the courtyard. And there again, you have the animals being prepared for sacrifice on the great burnt altar. There they are. And we'll have more to say about this picture when we get to studying it in detail. Here you have the brazen altar. There again, we will be talking about the different patterns that people have had in their mind regarding this altar. This is a brazen laver. There again, we'll be noting some differences, but there's the brazen laver full of water. Here you have the coverings of the tabernacle. You notice there's a beautiful one, first of all. And then you have next one, that would be the goat's hair. And then you have a ram skin dyed red. Then you have the badger skin, which covered the entire structure. This was the hanging of the door into the tabernacle, with the intricate embroidery work that was done on it. These are some of the pillars on which it was suspended, with their bases and their caps. And this is the veil between the holy place and the holiest of all. And these are the boards with which the tabernacle itself was constructed, with the bars running through. There's a glimpse into the holy place. You see the beautiful order there, and you get a little idea of the veil ahead and so on. These are some of the golden vessels that were used in connection with the service of the tabernacle. Table of showbread for the 12 loaves of showbread placed fresh there each week. And the beautiful golden lampstand. We will see replicas of this all over Israel when we're there. It's one of the things, the menorah, as it's called, that is very, very highly prized by them even today. And the golden altar of incense on which the incense was burnt. The veil into the holy place. The holiest of all, rather. And the mercy seat with the Ark of the Covenant, and its lid, which is called the mercy seat with the cherubim. And some of the contents of the Ark we'll be looking at, for they have a message to us too. And here is the lid, the mercy seat with the cherubim by itself. And the beautiful garments that the high priest wore, and the censer that he carried when he went into the holiest of all. The holiest of all here with the priest before the Ark of the Covenant there, in the mercy seat. And the tabernacle with the, and I want you again to notice the Shekinah cloud of glory there, over the holiest of all at the rear of the building. We'll be talking about that tonight. But we have the lights now, please. And we'll turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. Now I have the choice of going by my watch, which says about 8:11, or the clock, which says 9:11, I'm going to go by my watch. Although I may switch to the clock if we get past that time. Exodus chapter 25, please, and verses 8 and 9. I'm just going to pick out a few verses to get across to you this very important message tonight, the pattern of the tabernacle. God's work must be done in God's way. Verse 8. Exodus 25. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. That was last messages. That was the text for our last study. Now verse 9. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. All right? Look down at the last verse of the chapter. Verse 40. And look that thou make them after their pattern which was showed thee in the mount. Let's take time to turn to the next chapter. 26, verse 30. Thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof which was showed thee in the mount. And we'll go on to chapter 27 for just the eighth verse. Hollow with boards shalt thou make it. That's the burnt offering, altar. As it was showed thee in the mount, so shall they make it. Now, seven times we have read four of them. If we went to Numbers 8, we'd find another. If we went to Acts chapter 7, we'd find another. If we went to Hebrews chapter 8, we'd find another. Seven times we have the injunction from God in connection with the making of the tabernacle. It must be according to the pattern that was showed to Moses on the mount. Nothing was left to human imagination or human desire, not what they thought it should be. This habitation of God must be made according to his pattern. And so I repeat, seven times we have this injunction that it be made according to the pattern that was not only told to Moses, but shown to him, so that, as I point out to you as we move on these studies, some of the differences that I have seen in charts and pictures and models, some of the differences, it was all because these men had never seen the pattern. They read about, just as you and I can in our Bible, but Moses saw it, you see. So he had no question as to what was to be done in any situation. Not only that, if we had turned on over in Exodus a little farther, we'd come to chapter 36, 37, 38, and 39, and you have the construction of the tabernacle. You have Moses supervising, and then one of our studies will look at the people that were engaged in erecting, constructing, and erecting this tabernacle. But in those chapters I referred to, we have the construction of this tabernacle according to the pattern. And if in our studies we by that time had reached chapter 39, we would find seven times here. Now remember, we had seven injunctions to see to it it was made according to the pattern. All right, they're making it. Chapter 39 tells about the work being completed, the construction of it. And seven times in chapter 39, you have the expression, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, I underlined those in my Bible in chapter 39, so that every time I open my Bible at that chapter, I'm impressed with the fact that they constructed this tabernacle not as Moses thought it should be, not as anybody else thought it should be, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now look at verse 32 in chapter 39. That's all we'll read. Look at verse 32. Well, the end of verse 31 says, as the Lord commanded Moses. Thus, now that's the seventh time, as I've said in this chapter. Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished. And the children of Israel, notice this, did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. They did it exactly according to the commandment of the Lord to Moses. Now, notice the opening sentence in verse 33. And they brought the tabernacle unto Moses. It's all been completed now. The work's all been done. And so they bring it to Moses. Now you have the inspection of it. There were the instructions given. There was the construction of it. Now there's the inspection of it. And it all passes, as it were, under the eye of the man who had seen the pattern on the mount. Now look down a little farther. The last verse of this 39th chapter. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded, even so had they done it. And Moses blessed them. Brothers and sisters, I've been serving the Lord, as you know, for 50 years. And what men think of my service is not going to count one thing in the coming day. What solemnizes me as I get nearer to the moment I'm going to face my Lord is that He, may I say the divine Moses, He is going to examine these 50 years of service. And He's not going to say, McKay, how many souls did you win to Christ? He's not going to say, McKay, how many churches did you build? He's not going to say, McKay, how much money did you raise? He's going to examine my 50 years according to this book. And I tell you, I tremble as I think of that. I know that everything in those 50 years is going to pass under the all-seeing eye of my Lord and Master. And that is what I'm going to be judged by. And so you can see, the injunction was, make it according to the pattern. The construction was, as the Lord commanded Moses. The inspection was, whether it was according to the commandment of the Lord. Now, chapter 40, they're going to put it up. Everything's ready. It's all past instruction, inspection. All right, now we have the erection of it. All right, says Moses, go ahead, put it up. But I want you to just glance over the end of chapter 40. I'm not going to take time to point it out, but you will find here again in chapter 40 from about verse 17. The first one is in 19. You have that expression again seven times, as the Lord commanded Moses. See what I'm getting at? God gave the pattern to Moses. They constructed the tabernacle according to that pattern. He inspected the tabernacle according to that pattern. They erected it according to the pattern. You see? There wasn't anybody saying, now, I think this piece of furniture ought to go over there. And some other Israelite said, no, it goes over here. Moses said, it goes right there. It goes right where God said it should be, and I heard it, and I saw it on the mount, and that's where it's going to go, right there. Right down to the smallest pin. As well as the largest part of this tabernacle, it was erected, and we're reminded of that seven times in this 40th chapter here. Look at verse 16. Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. It's erected just exactly as God had told Moses to do. All right. Look at the end of verse 33. Where's my watch? I forgot all about it. So Moses finished the work. Look at verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Read the rest of the verses. Moses and all the rest of them had to get out. God had moved in. You know, friends, it's a thrilling thing. You read these chapters over and they look dry. They're talking about pegs and pillars and posts and who could care less. And so many cubits and so many more cubits and all that. And you say, my, I think I'll skip that. I think I'll read the psalm this morning and get something out of it. And yet, when you study this, it's a most precious portion. Just as far as we've gone already, God gives a pattern. They construct it according to that pattern. It's inspected according to that pattern. It's erected according to the pattern. The eye of the omniscient God is looking down. God says, that's just the way I commanded it. And he moves in. You know, when you build a house, then you take the final inspection. And you look it all over and you say, yes, that's the way I wanted it. That's the way I wanted it. I'll be moving in tomorrow. And that's what you have here, friend. And the reason our last picture showed us the cloud of glory typifying and manifesting the presence of God in that tabernacle was because it was all made according to the pattern. And brethren, sisters, the message for us tonight is this. If we want to have the Lord's presence, we've got to go according to the pattern of the book. And if we go according to the pattern of the book, we can have the presence of God with us. Now, we're certainly not going to take time. But if we were to go over to the book of Chronicles, we would find that the same thing happened in connection with a temple. You all know, I don't need to stop and explain. You know that the tabernacle took the place of the temple, The temple took the place of the tabernacle when they came into the land. It was the permanent habitation of God. Now, if we were to go in our Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, we would find that God gave the pattern of the temple to David. David gave it to Solomon, who was the builder of it. But God gave the pattern of the temple to David, and Solomon was to build it according to the pattern that was given to his father David in writing. David tells us it was given in writing. And if we read on into 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, we would have the temple all completed, just like with the tabernacle. And when it's all completed, the glory of God fills it, just like it did the tabernacle. The presence of God was there in the temple because it was according to the pattern. Now, what does this type teach us? We're thinking about historical facts from a way back centuries ago. But certainly those facts should impress on us. They had the pattern. They followed it, and the presence of God was manifest in their midst. All right. Just as the pattern of the tabernacle was given to Moses, and the pattern of the temple was given to David, so the pattern of the church, in a special way, was given to Paul, the Apostle Paul. We do not have time, and we've covered this ground before, and others have done it well. But if we were, for instance, to go to Colossians chapter 1, we would find Paul telling us that he'd not only been made a minister of the gospel, but he also had been made a minister of the church, which is his body, a minister of the mystery, and of Paul in a special way, not exclusively, but in a special way, the truth of the church as the body of Christ, the habitation of God by the Spirit, according to Ephesians 2 and 22, that was made known by revelation to the Apostle Paul. Paul tells us in his letters of five different revelations that were given to him. I'm not going into that. But one of those, and one of the greatest, was the revelation that the church is the body of Christ. And he unfolds that in his writings, particularly in Ephesians and Colossians. He unfolds a tremendous truth that the church is the body of Christ. And as such, it is the dwelling place of God, the habitation of God by the Spirit. But I do want us to take a moment now. I've laid the foundation for this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I feel, to really get the benefit of our study tonight, we must consider this. Verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Now let me give you very slowly the Greek word for master builder here. And as I give it to you, just think and see what it suggests to your mind. Now here is the Greek word, architekton. Architekton. What does that suggest you? Why, he's an architect. That's it. An architect. And that's exactly the way J.M. Darby renders this expression in his translation. A wise architect. But now, we think of an architect as one who puts down on paper the drawings, the blueprints, we call them, for the building. That's what our architect did in connection with the chapel here. He drew out the pattern for this chapel, and then it was followed by the contractor. Now, that is not quite the thought here. Paul did not sit down, great man though he was. He did not sit down and draw the pattern for the church. But the word is really, we have all heard of the, and read, of the great cathedrals built centuries ago in Europe. Those wonderful masterpieces of architecture. Now, those great cathedrals were under the supervision of what we might call in our English the master mason. He was not so much putting down on paper the plan of the building as an architect would, but he was working out, mostly with stone, but with stone and wood and other things, he was working out the plan and pattern of that great cathedral. Now that's the word that the Spirit of God uses here. Paul was the one, the pattern came from God. Just the same as for the tabernacle and the temple. The pattern was not drawn by Paul, the pattern was by God. But Paul was the one to whom it was revealed. Just as Moses saw it on the mount, and David had it in writing, it was revealed to Paul, and in his labors, he worked out the pattern of the church. I want us to read on now, please. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. The Apostle Paul brought the gospel to Corinth, and in preaching the gospel of Christ, and in giving the initial instruction to the converts at Corinth, he laid the foundation for the local church. Apollos came along later, and he added to that. But notice what Paul is saying, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. As it were, Paul is saying there's a pattern. You can't just go ahead and construct the local church the way you want to. There's a pattern for it. Now he says, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You can't have a local church unless it is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I'm not going to go on. But you see here, the pattern given to Moses on the mount, he comes down within his mind and in his heart. He makes it known to the workmen that we'll study one night. Bezalel and Aholiab and the others, both men and women. He makes it known to them. They make it according to the Lord's commandment. Then what do we see? They brought it to Moses and examined it all. What's he checking it by? The pattern that God had given him. And when he saw it was according to the pattern, he blessed them. That's exactly what you have here. God has given a pattern. And it's as we follow that pattern, our life will be reviewed, our service will be inspected in the coming day, and as we follow that pattern and put into the building that which is symbolized by gold, silver, and precious stones, then we shall have the blessing and reward of God. That is why, from the very beginning, when there came any question as to what should be done in connection with this local assembly here, we didn't write off to any board and ask them what we should do. We didn't write to any earthly headquarters and ask them what should be done about it. We didn't call in any preacher and ask him what he thought should be done. We didn't contact the district supervisor, because we didn't know who he was, and ask him just how the thing should be settled. We went to the book that has the pattern. And with the help of God through these almost 40 years now, the leaders of this assembly have sought to be guided by the pattern they have found in here. What place shall Christian women have in a local assembly? Well, let's see what the pattern is. Who shall minister the word of God? Let's see what the pattern is. Who shall perform the service of the local church? Let's see what the pattern is. How shall the money be raised? Let's see what the pattern is. I would be the last one, brethren, to say that we have not failed. I'd be the last one to claim that we have done everything perfectly. But I believe this assembly from the beginning has sought with the help of God to go according to the pattern. My prayer is it will continue to do that. I'm not at all interested in numbers and size and all of that. What do we want? Don't we want what the tabernacle has? The presence of God. Is there anything greater that you and I could have in this assembly than the manifest presence of God? I trust that by the grace of God we'll continue to go by the pattern, and God will make known to us what He would have us to do. And had I time, I would have impressed this fact on us. What is true of the company is true of the individual. There's a solemn verse in Paul's letter to Timothy. Let me just close with it. If a man strive for the masteries, that's a little bit old-fashioned English. But you could just say, if a man is seeking to win the prize, he is not crowned unless he strives lawfully or according to the rules. Judgment seat of Christ is going to reveal those who have gone by the rules of the book. Many a runner has come in first, but he didn't get the prize for he cut corners. And you can't cut corners from the things of God, brothers and sisters, and get the reward in the coming day. You may make a big show here, but remember, it has to be according to the pattern. Shall we pray? Father, wilt thou bless thy precious word to our hearts? We thank thee for thy word, and we pray it may indeed be to us individually and to us collectively a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. May thy blessing rest upon us as we separate. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.